Hello, and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney. Before this week's episode, a few friendly reminders. New episodes drop every Thursday afternoon.
Opinions and views expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the Arts Asylum, Mutual Musicians Foundation, or KOJH 104.7.
If you have any questions, concerns, or suggestions, please contact us via email at couchchats@gmail.com or find us on Facebook or Instagram at couchchats. And don't forget, that's couch with a K. Please also remember to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Bye.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And on the show today, we have our very good friend, Mackenzie Sammons. Welcome to the show, Mackenzie.
Hi, thank you.
Welcome, yay. Welcome. Mackenzie is our first guest in what I believe will officially be the Couch Chat Studios.
Yes.
So, welcome. You're the trial. You're our right. ability to find out what we need to do to make this sound a little bit better or worse.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or if by some chance we hear everyone in the building talking.
Right. Yeah. Who knows what will come through these new ducts. Yeah. Or what the selfie will look like at the end.
Hopefully it'll be in good light.
That's right.
Tune in and find out. So I always like to sort of start, Mackenzie, how in the hell did you get to the couch today?
I got to the couch. On a whim, I was at work and Courtney shot me a message, and I have not known Courtney for very long, but usually when she invites me to do something, it's gonna be an adventure, so I am all in.
Awesome. Yeah. I love that. I met Mackenzie, I believe, when we were doing, was it Nice Work? It was Nice Work, correct.
Okay.
And I knew that you sort of joined our happy breed of weirdos at that point, but she was the assistant stage manager during that time, right?
I actually was just brought on as running crew. I was the volunteer, not paid, and just kind of stepped up and did.
You get paid in theater?
Sometimes, if you do it right, I guess.
That was at the park?
No, the barn.
That was at the barn.
The barn players, yep.
Mm-hmm. What was at the park at that time?
Crazy for You.
Right, there we go. It was all the tap shows. Yeah. That's what I remember. All the tap shows happened at once.
It was all of that. And then you played with us a little bit during She Loves Me as well. Is that correct?
I did, yeah. We actually, the first production meeting for Crazy for You, you and the choreographer Valerie were like, hey, what are you doing during She Loves Me? And I was like, well, I don't know what that is, so I guess helping you guys out.
Yeah, you sort of joined us in.
Were you in the back when we had the play that happened in the backstage? Wasn't that that show?
Is that the one where people were popping beer cans in the backstage?
I think that was Pirates of Penzance?
No. When I came to see the show, and it was like I got a whole second show just from what was happening behind the seats in the bomb.
Oh, but no. You're talking about She Loves Me.
Yes.
That is whenever someone was clipping their toenails
in the silent parts. Uh-huh. And then there was just a lot of chaos.
I was like, this is
two shows in one.
Right, because that was the show that the barn decided to do, or the production team decided to do in the round. So the bombs became our wings.
Yes.
It was very interesting.
And there was times where we were like, Courtney, move over. Because people are running through here.
Dear friend, we are about to move a giant bed through this hallway. Please do not get run over in the dark.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was such a great show. Yeah, and then Mackenzie has sort of followed us all around during that time. I know that she was the stage manager for the first show that the Barn Players did at the Asylum, which was Chicago.
Yeah, correct. And that was when we met, I believe.
Yes, but, and I also was the lighting designer for that production at the same time. Mm-hmm.
And then I went ahead and stole her soul to move over to Urinetown the Musical.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point, I believe you got a little bit of time off. Is that correct after that?
I did, yeah. So actually, the rest of that summer and into that fall, we did the production Overture, which was originally written and produced by Krista Eiler and Barb Nichols.
Mm-hmm.
And so my entire rest of 2018 was 100% Overture. And then shortly after that, I'm kind of on a hiatus right now because I am preparing to be the maid of honor in my sister's wedding.
Yeah, we're so excited about that. And to go back to Overture, that was really cool because you guys had to do Act 1 of Overture for the 2018 French Festival. And then you got to do the full production of that here at the Arts Asylum later that year.
Yes.
And now you get to take that fucker to New York City.
Yes, NYC. It's really surreal at this point. We've had, I think, two or three production meetings, and we just start by just all sitting silently looking at each other like, okay, here we go.
All right, we're gonna do this.
It's really funny. We actually took a photo together that was reminiscent. It was actually about 1 year ago this month that we met to get The Fringe on its feet, the first production meeting where I met the director for the first time. I had never worked with Barb Nichols prior to this production. And so it was really interesting to kind of sit there and be like, wow, 12 months, and we went from never having performed it to taking this to New York City. It's been really exciting.
When do you, I believe that there's like sort of a window of dates that you may or may not be there. Kip Simmons, who is also, he's in the show and he's one of the Arts Asylum tenants. I watch his dog from time to time. Yes. And he finally yesterday sent me the email that was like, between maybe the 20th of July and like the 28th, I might need you to take care of my dog for me. And I was like, overture? Is that one?
Yes.
So we're really excited for that. I just, you know, I've been so proud of all of the work that you all have done.
Yes.
I feel a gross sense of ownership over something I have no ownership over. But I'm just like a damn cheerleader on the side all the time.
Well, and the Arts Asylum was a huge proponent of what, in my opinion, made Overture such a success, besides the heavily dedicated production staff and the amazing, phenomenally talented cast.
Yes.
Just being able to have a home and a safe space for us to be able to come and make the masterpiece that was Overture into the production it was really nice. It was so great to be able to come home.
It was one of the cooler moments of 2018.
It's true.
Sure.
Well, because we knew before, I mean, they were still doing like the house concerts. I don't know that it was finished. I don't know if the script was finished when we first started talking with Krista and Barb, and so we were just like, yes, let's make this happen. They're both lovely human beings, so it's hard to say no to them. As I'm sure you are.
I'm very aware. I'm now learning everything I can about fireproofing because I can't say no to these wonderful humans.
All right. Luckily, your day job allows you to know some about fireproofing.
Yeah, and thank God that I have connections through that day job as well.
So, during, I believe that was Urinetown, I think maybe Alex Perry started courting you to maybe come and work for him.
I'm not sure we could call it anything that formal. I walked into a rehearsal, and my phenomenal stage manager, Mitch Simmons, was like, "Hi, you're going to take notes for the lighting designer tonight." And I said, "Okay." To which I sat down next to this man I'd never met before, and he said, when I say go, write a number down, the next one, only odds, skip numbers, do this, turn the page, and go. And I sat silently and did everything he said, and after that, he was suddenly like, I didn't know people did this. And so, shortly after we opened that production, he was like, hey, I hear that you're putting in your 2 weeks. I said, yeah, I did that today, actually. I'm really excited to be unemployed for a while. He's like, great, do you want to come work for me in a week? And I was like,
can I do it in three?
Yeah. Like, I'll check in on that. And the irony of that is I did agree to go in a little early and get the employment process rolling, but then I had my tonsillectomy, and at the same time, his appendix decided to try to kill him. So we were both off work for the same
about
amount of time.
About this time last year.
Yeah.
Because I believe we're going to have Alex on for his anniversary of his appendix deciding.
Fantastic.
We've been dealing with Alex and his sickness. Ever since.
Right? Yes, I have. Kind of tracking and trying to shuffle that schedule so he can be sick.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you jumped headfirst into what we like to call the chaos of this entire sister world.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
So what were you doing before you decided to jump in with Alex? What was your kind of job beforehand?
So I consider my job with Alex at A to Z probably my first big girl job. Prior to that, I was a dog bather at PetSmart because I like dogs, and I thought that sounded fun. And prior to that, I was a server at AMC 30. It's a dine-in and movie theater out in Olathe, Kansas. So that was kind of my first start, was I was a server, and then worked with dogs because that sounded fun. And now here
somehow
I am.
Somehow that seems like it prepped you, actually, for work.
Both of those jobs, believe it or not, prepped me a lot. I'm very used to being constantly...
Those are her parts of her, you know, booklet whenever she writes it of her job description.
Right.
Covered in slime and soap and water, and being able to talk to people no matter what mood they're in.
Right.
It's very, very good preparation.
It's accurate.
For
accurate.
The world we live in.
Yeah. That's true. We do live in a ridiculous world.
But I'm glad, you know, we always find the weirdos, so I'm always so glad whenever I'm like, that makes perfect sense, Mackenzie. You should totally be here.
I think one of the first things you ever said to me, Corey, was, so, you're just going to come with us now forever. And I was like, oh, that's sweet. And then literally 3 years later, I'm still contracted out until 2021. I was like, oh, you weren't kidding.
No.
Okay.
Listen when Corey talks. Otherwise, it's
wrong.
Yeah. It's true. He manifests things that
it
are
did.
Pretty real.
There was a couple of, years ago, I think that was two, we were in St. Louis and we were discussing something, and I was like, yeah, we're kind of just done manifesting, you know, what do we have left? And the world has changed in 2 years.
We've done some things in a couple years.
As we are sitting in a couch chat studio.
Yes, it was actually today that we announced to the world that we were going, the couch chats was going to be a thing. I saw that on my Facebook memories today.
So you are kind of our 1 year anniversary of letting people know that we're even going to be doing this thing.
Yeah. Well, I remember you guys telling me in your old office, which I believe is almost in a position
offices.
Of where we're at right now.
Yeah.
And you guys told me that, yeah, you're going to have this, podcast and you guys are going to try something new and just
someone
have fun
wanted
with
to
it.
Hear from us. And we were like, okay.
Right.
Yeah. And now.
Boy, do you all regret it.
All the fives and tens are like, what?
For so long.
So what is kind of the biggest obstacle that you face daily at your job?
I would probably say
that's
just
evil. Sorry.
It's appropriate. I honestly just think communication and misinterpretation of communication that does happen. Mm. I personally come from a background where communication is huge. Me and my older sister Jolene were raised to always talk about what's going on around you, especially if it's just with each other. As long as you have a good base of knowledge, anything can work itself out. And so being able to hear people, and especially in an electronic age right now where everything's email or instant message or text, you can't always get the tonality of a message that someone is sending. So between just gaps of communication and then misunderstanding things that are sent is probably the biggest challenge that I face daily at work.
I have had to learn this last year that I can control what I say, but I can't control what you hear.
Absolutely.
And that is a very, because I am rather direct. Mm-hmm. I would much rather have an email that's just full of a bullet point list as opposed to like, and now I'm going to nuance everything to make it sound mean or, you know, nice or whatever.
I'm not.
There are some times where I'm like, you're going to have to write this email because this needs to be nicer and I don't know how to do that. So
I was always sort of taught indirectly to over clarify so then there is no room for a misinterpretation. Mm-hmm. And what I have learned in my last probably year and a half is that opens itself up to lots of interpretation problems. Mm-hmm. Because they're like, but you sort of said this, mm-hmm. instead of almost like following up on things.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Where do you see, this is not even like the interview part, this is just me sort of getting to know like a little bit more about you. Like, where do you see like your job going, and you know, at A to Z? Like, what is this the job, or do you think that there's like growth and that sort of changes?
I think it's really tough as A to Z is kind of in this growing transition right now. I'm currently Alex's assistant, whatever hat he may wear, including husband and father when I need to change license plates on cars. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so I think I know that within the company there are a couple people who have utilized me as their assistant as well, whether permission was granted or not. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if there is this kind of receptionist role that can be played by someone, or whether there need to be more people that fill my role in this place as well. I'm not sure what the growth would be besides the fact of just fully understanding the scope of the work that I do and just being the best administrative / executive assistant that I can be. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for changing my license plate. And that one time you had to pick up my kids from school.
Anytime.
But that's kind of part of the job. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Alex is all over the place. Normally can't be nailed down, though strangely enough I'm fairly certain he's on the other side of that wall right now, but I don't know, I'm not sure if he's
got 13 more minutes before he should
fair.
Be so
okay, well, Huda, I don't know where he is most of the time.
it's a lot easier, right?
Always.
So, a lot easier for me to just find out from you these days. Although because of his sickness I have had better tabs on him than perhaps in the last 3 weeks than I have in the last 20 years. Because he's actually at home, and I can find him a lot easier when he's there.
Do you think that's because of Mackenzie?
Yes, I do think that part of that is he's in the United States, so that helps.
I have told him, and will continue to tell him every time he leaves this country, that once he passes the Prime Meridian, he's not my problem anymore.
Right, yeah,
when
that's for sure.
When he is out of this country, I have no control.
No.
And I'm just going to sit back and wait for him to return.
I guess so he's been at home more often, though I am also prone to losing people in my house, as we've found every Violet for 2.5 hours was just gone for somewhere in the home. I found her eventually. Took me a while, but you know, it's fine. I'm a bit of a scatterbrain myself, so what are you going to do?
So that's sort of fun. So you're sort of being the person I was like 8 years ago.
Correct, yeah.
So it is definitely quite the learning curve. You know, I started almost being Courtney's personal assistant. Mm-hmm. That's where it started. And then Alex sort of absorbed me, and then the job got so big and so many hats and so many different things, and we were literally running two companies at that point, the Arts Asylum and what was Fire Designs before it was purchased, you know, or purchased A to Z. Mm-hmm. So I'm very glad that there's someone who I trust a lot who's running that side of the world, because that's a ship.
Yeah. It definitely is a learning curve, and we are kind of getting to that point again with Kariv, Alex's other company, becoming as large and as encompassing as it is. It is almost like trying to juggle two companies all at the same time. And so that's kind of what I mean by, you know, maybe one day there'll be more than one person that does what I do, or I'm just going to have to sleep less, I think, might be the answer.
Do you consider now theater as a hobby because you're so busy in your professional life?
I will never consider theater a hobby. It's my passion and my love, and I'm very fortunate that Alex is super understanding about that. When I was stage managing, when I first started, I was like, hey, I have to be out of here by 4:37 p.m. in order to get to rehearsal on time, and he's like, you go when you have to go. And so I've been very lucky that he's always been understanding when I have family issues or theater things, that he is super accommodating.
That's one of the perks, I think, of definitely working for like an independent company as well, is you get that one. I mean, the chain of command is tangible. You're not going to a boss that's in another country or state or something. You literally knock on the door of the human and say, life is happening. How can we work through this? And so I definitely appreciate that perk of my job. And it seems as if you do as well.
Absolutely.
So what's the next show you're going to be working on?
So Overture, going to New York, is actually the next one. But after that, I will be working with, you mentioned Kip Simmons earlier, a tenant here. He is directing Victor Victoria through the Barn Players Theater. And so I will be his stage manager for that production.
Cool.
And I've had a couple people ask me about doing other shows, but unfortunately with Overture and Victor Victoria already in place, I have had to turn them down until 2020, which is a weird feeling considering 3 years ago I graduated college and had no real theater experience outside of that. But it's a fun feeling when I talk to people from my high school or my college. They're like, you're really doing it. Like, you're making it. And I'm sitting at my desk answering phone calls and sending emails. And I'm like, I don't know, guys. I'm not sure.
Right,
about that.
But you work in the biz.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Because technically what you do every day is also theater, even if it's not directly stage managing or, you know, something. I mean, that's kind of the benefit of being in the big business, but that is still in the arts.
Absolutely. And I do sometimes still feel like I'm stage managing during the day, because I will inform Alex. I'm like, hey, you have 5 minutes to your next meeting. And he'll respond, thank you, five. And I'm like, oh, no, yep, okay, still in the office.
Right.
Mitch Simmons, who's sort of my stage manager, discusses that sort of same ability that in his professional life, working at the hospital, he's a stage manager. And he goes, if I really feel like those tools can interchange so quickly. I'm excited to have Mitch on the show one day to really sort of have him talk about those parallels in the medical profession and what his position is.
Yeah, most people that I think have stage management specific experience, I mean, because Mara says the exact same thing. You know, she is now, she works at Quick Trip, but she trains all the management. So, and she's like, it's exactly the same. I have a new cast every 2 weeks. I have a new, you know, I mean, all of that kind of stuff. And she's like, I would never be the manager that I am if it weren't for my ability to stage manage. Because it really, I mean, you're the business part of theater, I guess. I mean, not really, but like you have to keep a schedule and you have to do, I mean, it is, you know, just basically what you do in your life and your job.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how to write in a script at all. But I get the other part.
You could learn.
I could learn. It seems like there's a ruler involved. Is that true? Like, so that you're like, I feel like every time I see a stage manager, there's like a lot of pins or pencil options, and then a ruler involved in a big binder.
Every stage manager kind of has their own shorthand that they use in that process. But yeah, so the ruler is mostly just so they can keep on track with circling keywords and being able to draw a straight line off into your margins. Sure. So that's your ruler.
I like office supplies a great deal. So I think that sounds like that would be a thing I could do.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a, Alex is very good at it because he is a musician, and because I am not, though I like to think of myself as somebody who has rhythm, I don't think there's a chance I could ever call a musical because it's never on, like, it's not always a word. It's like, and on that downbeat, which, like, feel, what the hell does that mean? Downbeat. Yeah, right. When you feel this swell of whatever, and you're just like, okay, I don't know any. But I think I once ran sound for us. Luckily, it was a show I wrote, so I was very aware of when it needed to happen, and I did all of the projections and knew when the sound was supposed to come in. But I did. It never got easier. Every night I was just like, oh God, what did I mess up? It's like terrible. And one night I did mess it up. Ironically, the night we were recording.
And so, I need you to know that no matter how many shows you do, right, whether you write them or not, it will always feel that way.
I've never had a perfect show.
Yeah. Well, and I've never had a show where I started and I was like, this is going to be great.
I've got
every
this,
time I was like, all right, now I can't miss this cue or this cue or the one that sneaks up on me where I have to do three things at once. Mm-hmm. Like, and you will just always have that feeling of, I'm not sure this is going to go.
Is stage management the section of theater that you are most passionate about?
I would think so, only because in my day-to-day life, I'm someone that really just wants to take care of people. And I feel like the stage manager, the stage manager, their job is to take care of as many people as possible. It's to make sure that the cast is ready and okay. It's to make sure that your production staff is comfortable and that their vision is being executed. And, you know, you're the first one in and the last one out, and I'm a huge proponent of that.
Do you think stage management is a lonely job?
It can be at times, I won't lie. But also, there are times where it is not, and it is very loud and very exciting and wild. So those moments of silence and solitude speak a little bit louder. It's the one time that you have to be in this space that is your home, where you're creating this magic, where it's yours. You unlock it, you make sure it's prepped, and it's just you in this space. And so, sometimes lonely, yes, but not always in a negative way.
One of my favorite parts about any show process is whenever they're, as me as a director, it's whenever I get to hand it over to the stage manager. Mm-hmm. Whenever I say, they are now your people, I have done my job. And your work really sort of begins, even though you've been flirting with it for weeks sometimes. Yeah. It's, you know, because like, all of the communication then begins to really come from that human. They stop hearing from the director. Mm-hmm. That point. Mm-hmm. So I love that moment of handing that over.
Well, and it's the mark of a good stage manager, because I think I know a lot of people who are very efficient through the rehearsal process, but really kind of then taking the ownership of, this is what has been handed to me by the director and the designers, and it's my job to maintain that and not kind of let it go to crap. That happens. That has happened to me.
It does happen. But I also know that you posted on social media a little while back about how you missed being on the stage as
Wow, yeah, that is true. So prior to having any technical experience when I was in high school, I did start on stage. And I love acting. I was in improv in college. And there is an energy to being on stage and being a performer that you don't get as a stage manager or a designer. Yeah, I do miss that sometimes.
Well, when do we get to put you on stage? I feel like everyone reacted very positively.
Yes, all of my director friends were like, well, we'll look into that. I was like, you're going to have to catch me at an audition, which won't be possible again until 2020 or 2021. So I wouldn't hold your breath.
And that's a fascinating conversation that I sort of have often with people who end up being on the production side of things, is you often will be getting phone calls about doing more stuff on the production team side because people start to build their teams so quickly.
Early on,
early. You know, I mean, like, you know, in some capacities, I just assume that, like, my music director and my stage manager are going to come with me. You know, like, whenever I call and I'm like, hey, we're going to do that. And so once you sort of fall into that, I think sometimes one of the most difficult things for actors who work on production teams is to be an actor.
Sure.
Because it's, people are like, but I can rely upon you and you're good and you can come over here. And isn't that fascinating sometimes that you're like, I went from no one knowing my work to like, out now everyone just wants you. Like, Mackenzie, your name flies around me all the time. And I'm always just like, if you can get her. Because like, I tried to get her. And, you know, and I couldn't even grab you. And I thought that that was such a depressingly cool moment, is to realize that there was talent out there that I couldn't have. You were busy. you know, your life was doing something and I couldn't hold on to you
for that process. Yeah, and it's the weirdest sensation because as someone who doesn't say no to people, having to turn around and be like, no, these 6 months, like, mm-hmm. I can't do anything in the theater was really strange. And it was depressingly cool to me as well. The fact that I closed Overture with Barb and she called me a month later and she was like, hi, it's Barb Nichols. I was like, I know who you are, Barb. We just spent like 5 months of our lives together. Hi, how are you? And she was like, well, I wanted to know, it's really far off. But like, so remember, this is November of 2018.
Right.
She's like, in December of 2019, I was like, I'm booked. She said, what? I said, I'm already on contract with Kip. She's like, I was like, right? I'm sorry. Like, it is wild that because once you are labeled as a reliable mm-hmm. person that people want you around.
They swoop you up.
They swoop and it's almost nonstop, which is a great and wonderful feeling, but then you are getting to the point where you have to say no. And yep. That's not something I'm good at.
Well, and tech theater is I don't want to say it's easier than being on stage, because I don't know that I believe that at all, but I don't if you find a role as a stage manager, it doesn't, you're good at that role forever. So it doesn't matter what the show is. It's not like being an actor where you're like, well, I'm not right for that role. I can't be in The Wiz. Like, that's not, I cannot do that. But I can stage manage it. I can stage manage it because it does not matter if I'm good at that job. I'm good no matter what the show is. Unless you're somebody who doesn't do musicals, because I do know a couple stage managers who only do plays or only, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's relatively rare. And so it's not the same as a casting scenario. You know what I mean?
There's a lot less pressure in it,
right?
Because you are transferable,
right?
So it's not like, I remember when I was in college, us all sitting in a room together until midnight and then trying to break into the theater to see the cast list. Like, there's not that level of pressure and intensity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's a phone call while you're sitting at your desk right. eating your chicken sandwich and,
well, and often
a director
you
asking
have,
you to do it.
Yeah, and often you are the one who is locked with the most information.
Right.
You not only have the cast list, but you know every conversation that mm-hmm. went into that cast mm-hmm. list. So I've talked to people sort of about that candidly, and just saying sometimes the worst positions is to be on staff, because
right.
you know everything,
yeah.
and you have to decide what you want out there, because there's also no such thing as like secrets. Like, we all know that you're like, don't tell anyone, and five people have already messaged their friends
uh-huh.
just to be like, ooh, here it comes, or hey, you should look for another
right.
thing to do in January, because
yeah.
you're not going to be around.
Right. Yeah, it is, because this is such a small community, there's
Absolutely.
Not much of that gets to be like, I know things that you don't, because you're most of the time working with at least acquaintances, if not friends.
Right.
This was the first, when we were doing Superstar auditions, that was the first time that I had been in the audition process with friends, and I forgot, I have been at the audition table before,
mm-hmm.
But not as immersed in theater as I am now, to where I'm like, these are literally all people that I know and could like text, and they are texting me from out in the hallway
right.
and all of
yes.
that. It was a lot harder than I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Because I do not have a very good poker face. I don't know how you do that all the time. Like, because there are just moments where I'm like, that was really pretty. And now I want to cry. Or like, ooh, girl, you sounded better before. Or whatever, you know.
Right.
Whatever, where you just, but you can't have that. You just have to be so. I am not good at that information.
I love being in an audition room with Corey, because it doesn't matter who's in there, or who's saying, or what. It's always this very calm, eloquent smile, and mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming in. We'll mm-hmm. be in touch. No matter what happened in there, someone could walk in and bomb, not know how to sing on
sure.
key, and it's still that smile and that reassuring. We'll
sure.
be in touch.
Yes, I have strangely been in an audition room very often with Corey, not for theater. What is your, what's your theater version of what's your crazy, or show us your fun walk? Yeah, I assume
so,
you have one.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, it's that same sort of thing. I, you know, I sort of got a special version of that through Year in Town whenever I told people to tell me about the time that they had
mm-hmm.
to pee so bad that they maybe peed
mm-hmm.
their pants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people were like, well, you would be surprised
right.
often as a woman how much sometimes when there's a long line that you're like,
right.
is it better to just let it go?
Right.
Right.
Like,
right. Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just like, well, you should go in any bathroom. And that's
right.
a whole different,
sure.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
gender sort
mm-hmm.
of conversation about that. So also inside of theater so often, because part of the show is for people to learn about those sorts of things.
Right.
So can you sort of explain, like, as a stage manager, often sometimes, like, what that actually means? You know, there are people out there who are like, I am sure, I keep hearing these terms.
Right.
And I'll give you my quick thing, what I say is everything that has to do with the stage, you are the manager of it. You know, the deck is yours. So that means if lights touch it, you know, if props touch it, if actors touch it, it's your playing field. So tell us a little bit, and especially the fives and tens, what typically your job is as a stage manager.
That's a very accurate description of what you've provided. So the stage manager's job, in my experience, has always begun with a director that has selected me. There are some places that a stage manager is assigned to a director, which is always an additional challenge because you don't know how you're going to work with that person.
Right.
So the stage manager begins doing production notes. So you're with all of your designers and the staff, and you're trying to collect the notes that they have for this vision of this production that they want to create. You are there by the director's side taking notes when we're doing casting and auditions, and trying to collect this group of people that you're about to spend potentially 4 to 6 weeks of your life with. And then once you're into the rehearsal process, it is documenting blocking, which is the phrase of where people move. It is tracking props, all of the objects that any actor touches. It is documenting costume changes, which is always fun, especially quick changes. And then once you have exited the rehearsal process, you kind of take over. As Corey says, the director will hand you this production that you spent X amount of time molding into what it is. And then it's on you to make sure that your prompt book, which is the book that has all of your lighting cues and your sound cues, are in it. And it's to make sure that the production is as close to what your production staff wanted is. It's making sure all of your actors arrive on time and that their costumes are hung up at the end of the night. It's making sure that scene changes and set changes are done. It is anything that touches that stage, you have to manage and make sure that it's pulled off in the most efficient and successful way possible.
You have the hardest problem of knowing that the painting changes every night, and you have to make sure that all of the supplies are there every night so people can, like, paint this picture. Mitch, I think that was in She Loves Me, he was the stage manager, and there was a moment at the end of Act 1 where he had to go on as a waiter, because we needed one more person to do something, and so Mitch would literally stop his prompt book and be like, you know the next four cues, you know, Sean, and then run downstairs, and he went on stage, and then, you know, ran back up to the booth.
That's insane.
Yeah, you are the understudy. I mean, you are just everything. You have to fill in. Because I've been in rehearsals with you before where I've been like, Mackenzie, can you get up there and read something, like, during the process? And all of a sudden, you're up there.
Yeah, well, and I think it was during You're in Town where we had one actress that was sick for, like, a week straight, and we were learning a huge dance number that was very number intensive. Mm-hmm. She was 3 in a 1-2-3-4 pattern or whatever. And I ended up learning the entire choreography to Run Freedom Run, and would have to perform it every night with the cast. And that's not unheard of. When I was in college, the stage manager who actually taught me pretty much everything I know, her name is Cheyenne Queen, and we had one actress that got so sick. So on Friday night, we had trash cans hidden backstage for this actress. Mm-hmm. And there's one part of the show where she's locked in a closet for 35 minutes of the show. Yeah. And there's no escape door because we thought, why would we need it? It's only 30 minutes.
Sure.
We did have another gentleman that was hanging on a hook from the back of the door, and it's not like he was getting out of there anytime soon. And so, you know, after that
like
night.
Sounds like a kinky idea show.
It was wonderful. Out of Order by Ray Cooney. It's very funny. But the Saturday show, she said, I can't even get out of bed. And so our director, who was also our costumer, ran and bought new scrubs because she was a nurse in the show. Mm-hmm. And our stage manager went on stage that night, and our director called the show.
Wow.
Like, in an instant, you go from, you really are the catch-all for a production. Mm-hmm. You are there when, example, Mitch Simmons, anytime we have lighting calls and he's a stage manager, he's always there. Shows when he's not the stage manager. I was a stage manager for Chicago, and he came and made sure I didn't fall out of the lift. Like, I mean, it's just, you are the catch-all. You're there for everything. And any problem that comes up, you are the solution, because even if you don't have the answer, you have to find it. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting.
It is never dull. And I don't think we've ever had a show together, Mackenzie, where we haven't had that moment where we're like, oh, here we go.
I don't know if a show exists, but that doesn't happen.
Yeah. I call that the magic of life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I mean, that's the only way to to explain that. We have in our house the like the theater magic thing, yes. Like where you're just like, oh, that happened because of theater magic or whatever.
Absolutely.
Because it is the only way that things can go on like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is what it is.
Nothing's greater than the light board dying in the middle of Chicago, right? 30 seconds before the Act 1 call.
Yeah, I was here that day too.
That was so much fun.
Uh-huh. That was, the Saturday night performance. Mm-hmm. I was here for that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And uh-huh. just that moment where you look at someone and go, okay, this is happening. Mm-hmm. As soon as the lights went out, because it was supposed to be a blackout. It was a little early, but it was supposed to be a blackout. Mm-hmm. But the lights are supposed to come right back up. Mm-hmm. I turn to my sound designer, Sean. Sean turns to me and I go, I don't have power. And he was like, me either? Mm-hmm. And I said, hold this. Yeah,
uh-huh. That was the last time the barn used an actual spotlight.
We had that happen, though, at the music hall. Like, we went to go see Waitress, and it was the first night that, like, the tour was through, and all of the show
they
was
stopped
tracked.
The show.
They did, like, and I did not realize, I know, like, everybody, you know, theater people can come after me, I know Waitress as the movie, mm-hmm. and it did not occur to me that they were the same, like, in the right. moment, and so when this person in blacks and a headset came on, I was like, this is a different change of this show that I did, was not expecting, and they were like, get off the stage, like, and then the main came down, and I was like, this isn't part of the show, okay, I get it now,
and then this just
got
mic'd
for 20 minutes, because one of the pieces of scenery had come off the track, and there were people in it, and it was like, on motorized track, obviously, because
right.
it's, you know, a tour, and they have all the bazillions of dollars.
Right.
But they were concerned at some, there was like a screw coming out of somewhere that it was going to like derail. And I was like, oh yeah, this is okay. Well, maybe we're going to stop for a minute because you just hear the god mic of like the Waitress will resume. And I was like, oh, all right. So it happens to you guys too. Good to know.
Yeah. Don't feel us alone now. Right. That is a...
It is kooky boots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what is tough, there has been a couple of times that I've been in the audience watching the show while the show is happening, and you kind of can tell that something is starting to go a little kooky,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, oh my god, is everyone know? Like, when do I jump up
yes.
and, like, start to fix this?
All the time.
Yeah.
And my family loves going to productions with me of any kind, theatrically mm-hmm. or whatever. Because they'll look over and they'll be like, how do they do that? What are they doing to make that happen?
Right.
Which is great. But at the same time, like, I went and saw Anastasia that was recently in Kansas City, the music hall.
I did as well. Did you enjoy it?
I did. There were a lot of technical elements that were wonderful. But I went opening night and there was a very, very tired spot operator that did not know quite their correct cues yet. So I'm sitting there, like, as a time lighting designer, like, how do you...
Right.
Like trying to internally calm myself, which is kind of taking me out of the element a little bit. And my mom's like, I didn't even notice. This show was amazing.
Right.
And that's my parents say that. And I was just like, because you're listeners now, mom and dad. And whenever my parents will say, oh, I had no idea. I'm just like,
what do you mean?
How did you not?
Right, and that's the thing. The part about that is terrible, and I know, like, because Alex will say things, it makes me still hysterically, like, just laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to all of the people that there's an emergency line for A to Z, because he's like, what if someone needs a lamp? And I'm like, I'm going to tell you a little story as a lighting designer, and I'm sorry it's going to crush your heart. No one knows when something is, like, if there's not another lamp at the music hall, no one knows. I know you want them to, but they don't.
Yes.
Like, and you have thoroughly ruined all theater for me. Like, I see everything now where I'm like, why is that crumbling? I'm all crazy. Like, they got a big old gap there. Where's their TV? Like, you know, I see it all. Or
I'm
like,
so glad you come to my show.
Well,
breathing.
I mean, the thing is that, like, but I'm aware of, you know, the things that happen here, obviously. Yes. I know all the things. But, like, when we were in, what did we go see? We're in Vegas. I did the one singulars. You know, that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Showstoppers.
Yeah, Showstoppers. So, in the middle of that show, somebody lost an earring. And it was, like, a significant chandelier earring. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whole dancing show, like,
somebody's
gonna
pick it up,
break an ankle, and then, like, 2 seconds later, this little hand comes out from underneath the curtain, and I was just like, there it is, okay, as long as you
got it.
They got
it, I'm relaxed, enjoy now.
It's right. The kitty cat hand.
Right,
it's
like that. Right, but I'm like, so I see those things, but nobody in that theater saw that, where it's just like, somebody's going to break an ankle, it's gonna be terrible, they're in the character shoes, you know, we see that stuff, but the vast majority of people have no idea what we do
right.
at all.
And I love that degree of detail, those moments where it is just, it's one thing that theater people get, mm-hmm. and they will see it. We had a similar moment in Chicago. I actually kissed, I think it was Kyle Tichner. We had a feather fan scene for all the girls in Billy Flynn, and we had one fan that kept falling apart and dropping feathers on the stage, and the next number was a huge tap number, which can end terribly as well. And so I was like, someone get the feather, someone get the feather, someone get the feather. And I mean, me and the choreographer in the balcony, like, oh my gosh, get the feather. And Kyle picked it up, and I walked backstage at intermission and just kissed his cheek and threw him back, and I said, that's how you get a feather. And he was just like, you're welcome? Like,
I had a similar accident take place on one of our final dresses of the Full Monty, and there's a roll of toilet paper that I needed a few times in one of the scenes, and for some reason, it just that fucking thing never left stage.
Right.
Like, I was like, there, just pick it up.
Yes.
Someone pick it up. And then someone would move it, and they would forget it or whatever. So eventually, I told my lead, I was just like, I need you to turn that thing into a football. And at some point, if it's on stage, I need you to launch it.
Absolutely.
Just launch it. And he's like, but that's so weird. And I'm like, but it's better than the roll of toilet paper.
Hanging out.
Hanging out center fucking stage.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's move into the questions portion this, which is always my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a new question today that we would like to ask.
One?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Okay. Oh, I have to remember it because I didn't bring in the thing.
You got it.
All right. So, if you have to make a choice, do you want 3 wishes over 5 years or 1 wish right now? Standard genie wishes.
All right. So 3 over 5 or 1 this very minute.
Correct. Yes.
I am a person that has always been the get it done and out of the way, but with the expression of genie wishes, I'm going to go 3 over 5 because the next 5 years are holding a lot for me.
Then
so.
What are your 3 wishes?
Bonus level. So I would probably wish that Overture would get national recognition outside of just the 5 performances. I would like it to be picked up.
Me too. So it says everywhere it was originally produced at the Arts Asylum.
Yes, and I know Sweet Chris Eiler is already working on the next couple of projects. So I think getting some, and of course she's already asked me to be her stage manager. So getting some more.
I'm really hoping she asks us to do maybe one of those here at the Arts Asylum.
How did you put it? We all know things that we can't say anything, so we just say. I'm just saying, make sure that there's some gaps in your calendar over the next couple of years.
I believe Sharp Woman LLC is getting an email anyway, so
yes.
Perfect.
We're coming for you, maybe.
Great. Uh-huh. And so that would be my first wish. My second wish would be some peace and happiness for my family. As I mentioned, my sister is just about ready to get married in April, and my grandmother and my mother are currently living together and looking at renovating the house and maybe moving. And so I know that that can be a very stressful time in the life of things. And my third wish is probably... Oh, this is tough. I could really use a Dr. Pepper right now.
Fair. So, I have one in the bar. When
we're done. We do not.
Oh, we do not?
Do not
anymore? Okay.
And there
Courtney
goes that
just
wish.
Lied to you.
That's okay. Sorry. It just means
there
she's
was a
not
box
my genie.
Still.
That's
I just
okay.
I tried to sell... 2 on Sunday, ironically, at the production of Lizzie, and both of them were empty, closed cans.
What?
How does that even happen?
I put them, they're probably
Who
still in the
magic?
Trash in there.
That's crazy.
Empty, closed cans. And whenever I gave it to the person, I was like, you probably don't want Dr. Pepper, but you have a can.
Here's just a sealed can. Wow. Interesting.
So,
unfortunately, just kidding. I'm so sorry. I can get you a Coke
okay.
or a Sprite.
No, it's just fine.
What is your definition of true magic? Or real magic, not true magic.
I mean, I like both. I think the definition of real magic is being able to believe in something that brings you greater happiness, even though there's no tangible way to explain it. Trying to get people to understand what I mean when I say that theater's my passion and the joy that it gives you. Like, you see it everywhere, but, like, when an overture starts, musical theater people are just like, like, there's just this energy. That deep inhale. It is that moment of, here we go. Like, it's just, it's very hard to put into words. Only people who have experienced
who
really
are sitting here
understand, right, like, know what I'm talking about. And
I'm so sad when there's musicals that don't have an overture.
Same.
Because I'm like, how do we know what we're going into? We're getting like a, you know.
This is
going
to be really tough. But with Krista and Barbara listening, I'm so sorry. But Overture the Musical doesn't have an overture. And it drives me a little wild because the music is so beautiful.
But I think that that's the irony.
But even if you just of get course. The, get it, like, just the, like, tuning of, right. like, and the orchestra's about to start.
Right. And we do have that, which is great. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm like, just the music is so beautiful. It's called mm-hmm. Overture. And it is the irony of it, because you actually hear the song called Overture mm-hmm. in the second act. But at the mm-hmm. same time, I'm just like...
It might be why this show might do well, is because it is so interesting. I love
absolutely.
It.
It's beautiful music.
I love it.
It is beautiful.
I can't get a damn... Mm-hmm. I cannot get enough of that. Mm-hmm. I wish sure. I...
It's true.
Could go to New York and help with that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. You are a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you and why?
Mm-hmm. A new addition.
Some people are like, do I have to make up a whole new color? I'm like, no, that's not really a thing.
I don't think. It could be.
It could be. But more like, you know, you pick your favorite color nail polish and then call it something wacky.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I like
it. I think. Because I feel like, do people create new colors?
I think there's a whole section of Crayola that does that, but, I mean, it's just mixing pre-existing colors.
Exactly. So. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Sorry for my tangent there.
No, I like it. It's all about colorful. I've always loved the phrase tickle me pink, but I hate the color, so I might be tickle me purple.
Would you be tickle me
surprise
pink,
if you will.
But it be a different color.
Oh, see, I would consider that for sure.
Yeah.
So,
you tickle true me lighting pink, designer. And you're actually purple.
Right.
Like surprise pink, which is purple.
There you go.
Pink.
Yeah.
Oh my god, our listeners are like, stop saying
sorry,
surprise
that is a Roscoe gel. I do not have the code for it, but it is surprise pink. It is not pink. There we go. See? Lighting designer in the house.
What is something you were told you could never do or do well that you accomplished or are in the process of accomplishing?
Making money at doing theater. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a very small town. Our theater department consisted of my senior year. Mm-mm. We had a lot of people who were involved, but I was the only, they called me the theater despot because I was the secretary, the treasurer, the president. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, it is wonderful to go from being in a small town where you have a cafetorium mm-hmm. into being able to lighting design and stage manage in large spaces like the Beautiful Arts Asylum. And the former barn on Martway was not necessarily large or extravagant, but it was a bigger theater than the cafetorium I had experienced.
Sure.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm looking at stage managing on 42nd Street right. in July. So mm-hmm. I feel like I can look at people from my hometown and
I
say,
really
you know, I'm making
take out your knees, so I have to go. Like, it's crazy. If McKenzie goes down,
right.
come find me.
It's Corey's
because it's me. But I'm just standing there with my luggage. I'm sorry, McKenzie couldn't make it today.
McKenzie's just in the luggage unconscious. Yeah. He's like, it'll be fine
there's,
once we get there.
There's a leg sticking out of it. Check the bag.
Oh, just check
Lord.
It, please.
That's funny. All right, let's see. What are the best and worst purchases you've ever made?
Best purchase would probably be just thinking of all the variety of things. There's so many purchases. I'm currently spending an insane amount of money on my sister's wedding.
Sure.
So there's a lot of purchases that have currently taken place. But I would probably say Jostin's senior class of 2012 sweatpants.
Mm.
Those things still work to this day.
Sure.
And
it is
so many years later. The poor bottoms of them are rotted out, but I wear them all the time.
I just love that you graduated from high school in 2012.
It always hurts people's souls, and I'm so sorry.
It does hurt a little, just
yeah.
a little bit, but it's fine.
My husband makes fun of my Stevens College sweatshirt uh-huh. because it's a little different. It looks the exact same of the day that I purchased it. He's just like, what is this magic thread
right.
that you have?
I have a Boji University one, which I'm sure you have also purchased. It's a hoodie that
University of Okoboji?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everyone went there.
Sure, everybody did, ironically.
No one.
Exist.
No
one.
Because it
there.
Doesn't exist.
But it's delightful. You can get it down on the boardwalk or whatever the hell it was called. Mm-hmm. Like the little strip of things at Boji.
I love Boji.
Yeah.
What is one thing, though, that became more clear as you got older? I have a fun example underneath this that I want to read afterward. Because
okay.
it's a meme that I screenshot.
That's awesome. Something I learned as I got older, surrounding yourself with good people makes for a good life. Mm-hmm. I have learned a lot that it's not about the place that's home, it's the people that make it home. And so, specifically in the theater family and in this wonderful theater community, absolutely that. But additionally, you know, Sometimes family is blood, and that can be toxic, and family that isn't blood is more supportive and more constant. Learning a lot of the fun and relationship stuff, but please, for the love of God, tell me your meme is about food or cartoons or...
Well, it is the opposite of what you just said, so that's even funnier.
I love this.
It said, what is the one thing that became more clear as you got older? Why the Grinch wanted to live alone with his dog.
But for real, though, because here's the deal. You can still surround yourself with people you love, but at the end of the day, your sweatpants, your dog, and a TV is all you need to unwind.
It's true.
I just think that that is always so funny. It's like, why the Grinch wanted to be away from all you crazy
Some of those who's were annoying as hell.
Well, they sang all the time.
Right.
And I happen to enjoy it.
And no one knows what they were saying.
But in rhyming, like, I know I love a good rhyme, I love a good song, but there's one thing about someone who consistently speaks in rhymes that's just a little irritating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I need to remember that.
Oh, you really want to drive me crazy? Do accents.
Ah.
I, as an actress, have never been able to hold an accent. They all morph together into one giant, strange accent.
Western European sort of sound.
I will start Russian and end Jamaican. It's a weird road to go on, but I'll get there. Okay. And
that might be your show that we need to do together. Right. Call it accents.
Right. Well, there's actually a monologue called Accents where you have to do 13 very different and distinct accents. I failed miserably. But my boyfriend, who is not an actor or theaterly inclined at all, can do all of the accents for all of the time. Mm-hmm. And I am...
He's never had to.
He can also fake cry. So every time we bring it up, it's a very sore topic. I'm like, listen, you fake cry... I'm going to leave. I'm just going to go home, and I'm going to eat some Cheetos on the couch, and we'll come back to this later.
Regular Cheetos or spicy Cheetos?
Puffs, actually.
Oh, the Puffs are my favorite.
Right? The Puffs are the best.
And I like, they don't make the balls anymore, but I like those too.
Oh, yeah. They do have some cheese puffs, but they come in that big plastic.
They should do at Target.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
The actual best, I don't know if you've had it, is Chester's Puffcorn. It's popcorn made like, the Puffs. It's the best.
I like popcorn. But because people that in the world don't know what that is, but you can't serve popcorn on stage because of the kernels, and so you got to get the popcorn, which goes stale very quickly.
Absolutely.
And then you accidentally eat it because you're backstage.
You're right. So weird. I love you.
But that's what like a pop is like. It's like popcorn.
Absolutely. Anyhow.
That's amazing.
Well, you made me realize how many people don't have any idea what we do. That I think about the fact that nobody knows what a stage manager does. Not like, you know, anyhow. All right, I'm going to keep talking. Okay, you're invisible for one 24-hour period. What do you do with your time? And, like, you can just instantly be wherever you need to be.
Oh, great. So teleportation and being invisible. Wonderful. Right.
She's like, I would sit on my couch with my dog and Cheetos. Y'all,
I will not lie. I have a couple of roommates who'd be really freaked out by just a floating Cheeto Puff bag next to the dog on the couch. It sounds like a good time to me.
That could be a portion. Don't use your whole 24 hours doing that.
All right. I would probably definitely prank some people. Mm-hmm. Like, the people I work with are wonderful people, but I think it'd be really fun to make some stuff float around A to Z theatrical. Sure. This is some very fun props and things to play with.
Yeah.
So, I think that would be fun. Prank some people I know. I would want to see... Well, that's one thing, is if you're really into movies. Going to a movie theater and just binging new movies. Because no ticket purchase.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sorry, Zach. My boyfriend works at AMC 30. So, that's probably very concerning. Yeah, I did, actually. We met because he was my trainer. Mm-hmm. He was a busser at the time. And when you're a server, you have to have one night of training as a busser. Mm-hmm. And I was like, he seems cute, but don't mix business with pleasure. And the day that my phone number got published on my last name got published on our schedule, he found me on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2.5 years later, here we are.
Yeah. I can't wait to come to your wedding.
Let's take a deep breath. I'm still trying to get my sister married. It is a process.
Like, hold on.
They've been engaged for 2 years, and it is a production. Like, it's absolutely, we've got insane amounts of decorations, and it's going to be absolutely beautiful. But if this wedding has taught me anything, it's take your time.
Sure, or just elope.
Well, and that's
I love nothing more than to plan a good wedding. Like, literally love to plan a wedding. But if I had to do it all over again, Alex and I also met at work. I was his boss. And so 20 years later, I would have been like, hey, 12 people I know, let's go get dinner. And we're just going to stop at the park, get married, and call it done. Because you think that you're going to do all those things, and it's wonderful. People who need it, I think it's wonderful. I think there are people who do, like, go back and look at their pictures and all that. I threw my wedding dress away last year. The basement flooded. And Alex was like, but it's here. And I was like, well, throw that away. Who cares about that?
Right.
That's silly.
You walk into a room right now. what is the piece of advice you would give yourself right now?
Am I from the future or the past?
You are.
Just right now?
Yes. You've walked in, and what you're feeling today, what is the piece of advice you would give yourself?
This too shall pass. Anything stressful, anything feel like it's more than you can handle, this too shall pass. Well, that also applies to the good. Mm-hmm. So enjoy the fun and the times and being on couch chats. I see your guys' selfies all the time, and I'm like, I only have one selfie with Corey, and that just looks like so much fun, and he's so cool.
You're going to get one today.
And that's my thought was, I don't know if I have anything that I am doing that would get me there. And then here we are.
Scheduling.
Right.
Scheduling gets you there.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. So the last question we have is, who would you like to hear from on the couch?
This is a tough one. I would say, have you guys interviewed Kay Noonan?
Nope.
We haven't had Kay
on. But she'll be fun. Mm-hmm.
I believe Kay Noonan would be a blast. Mm-hmm. I watched when Overture was being turned into a documentary. We were getting ready to start the show, so I'm trying to make calls, but the camera's on, so I'm trying to very patiently wait. And just listening to how she can talk so even-keeledly and naturally about pretty much anything is just fascinating. And I also think she's a wonderful human being.
I love Kay Noonan.
Yes, she is fantastic. I definitely think that Kay Noonan should be next.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Right. Well, next week we will be having on either Seth Jones or Natalie Licardello. We are still working on the bookings of that. Either one will be on to talk about Mr. Popper's Penguins or Jesus Christ Superstar that is coming. So... Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being on the show, Mackenzie. I always just think that, like, that's the quickest hour ever. I sit here and I'm like, wait, it's already been an hour? Great. I have 5 million other questions, right. And that's why I'm always like, we should get coffee, you know, and like keep talking. Uh-huh. So tune in next week where we will learn something else about one of our friends.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, guys.
And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next week to see who we've got on the couch. New episodes are available in the KC area on KOJH 104.7 Thursdays at 2 p.m. or on iTunes. Bye!